Quitting Time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell LeBaire back with you. Marcus Young is in with the top 5 at 5. Brought to you this afternoon by the fine folks at Knoxville Smiles. Marcus, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, Michigan State star running back Blake Corum will be undergoing season-ending surgery on his knee, which is unfortunate. The junior running back. Sorry, Bear.
Michigan Wolverines running back, correct?
Yes, the Wolverines running back, Blake Corum. What did I say something else?
No, I think you're fine.
Just go
Bear's
on.
Just I missed urgent. Talking.
Oh, you're good. Blake Corum, obviously, as a Heisman candidate, almost 1,500 yards rushing, 18 touchdowns. He's going to be out, and they're going to be having sophomore Donovan Edwards will be taking over. So, see how it goes for him in the playoffs.
Are they going to move Michigan down? He's your best running back.
I see what you did there. They're undefeated. They beat Ohio State without him.
That is true.
It would be a minor difference.
Slippery slope, though.
Yeah, it's got to think about it through. Number 2, personal reports over with Brett McMurphy, Trey Wallace, and some others. Tom Herman looks to be hired as the FAU head coach.
Welcome back to the big time, Tom Herman.
He most recently served as an offensive assistant for the Bears, last season. Also the head coach at Texas for 4 years before that.
This ends with him replacing Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss whenever Kiffin leaves, right?
Yes.
He's just going to follow that path.
Either that or at Auburn when freezes, crashes, and burns.
And number 3.
Bear almost made it through an entire show without taking a shot at Hugh Freeze. Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe.
Thursday Night Football. Buffalo Bills will take on the New England Patriots at 8:15 at Gillette Stadium. It'll be on Amazon Prime. And currently the Bills are a 3.5-point favorite. Although, to add to that, Von Miller looks like he's going to be out.
Yeah, but he's going to come back at some point, right? They thought that was a serious knee injury, or they were afraid it was at first.
Well, he's at least out indefinitely.
He's on IR.
Yeah, he was placed on IR. That means he's going to miss at least 4 games.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Hopefully, he'll be able to come back for him and healthy. At number 4, going to add a little controversy, Russ. LeBron James is in the news once again.
Oh, boy.
He was disappointed by the lack of questions about Jerry Jones' photo from 1957, but quick to ask about Kyrie Irving.
No. He
would
said...
Would you like the quote?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got one question for you guys before you guys leave. I was thinking when I was on my way over here, I was wondering why I haven't gotten a question from you guys about the Jerry Jones photo.
Because you're a basketball player!
But when the Kyrie thing was going on, you guys were quick to ask about that.
Because he's a basketball player! God, this guy, man.
Yeah,
I personally think they both deserve a lot of questions.
He continues and says, but it seems to me like the whole Jerry Jones situation in the photo, and I know it was years and years ago, and we all make mistakes, I get it, but it seems like it was just buried under the rug, like, oh, okay, it happened.
It was on the front page of the Washington Post, buried under the rug. What, like, we have to run all controversial issues by LeBron James now?
Thing that is amazing to me is that picture's been floating around out there for, what, like 60 years now? And he's just front row and center.
What did they say? Did anybody say something? Like, because it's a football issue and we're covering basketball.
No, right? I watched it. They didn't say anything. He did finish with...
He asked you about Kyrie because you played with... It's the same sport.
Right.
You played with him. It's a big issue in basketball, and you're the biggest basketball player in the world. So, yeah, we ask you about that. We're not going to ask you about, like, okay, there's lots of weird geopolitical tensions going on at the World Cup. Do we have to run that by your desk, too? We come to LeBron. What do you think about Qatar? Like,
how do you say Iran, or do you say Iran? He did say that he was slightly disappointed at the end of his statement. I was kind of disappointed that I haven't received that question from you guys. I will say the big thing, too, is the reason they're asking him about it.
Is it Iran or Iran or what?
It's Iran.
What's the proper pronunciation?
I think it's
Iran.
Iran, yes.
And I run away. Part of the thing with it, too, is people want to know, since he was teammates, he's close with him. Let's be honest. They're kind of trying to gauge, hey, is this behavior been consistent? Or is this something that was just happening out of nowhere? Like, that's the only reason why I would really imagine wanting to ask LeBron about it.
It's completely reasonable to ask LeBron James about the Kyrie Irving situation. It's completely asinine for him to expect to be, as if, like, he's some oracle on all things race relations. Yes, come sit at my feet, and I will dispense my knowledge upon you.
What was the old Carson bit with the paper to the head?
Karnak?
Yeah, Karnak. He's the Karnak of the the drama
ass,
world.
But yeah.
Finally, number five, as you mentioned, Russell, today is the 1st of December. Some big events happened on this date. A 1913 Ford Motor
we're
doing Company.
This now? Yeah, we're, you couldn't find a kicker, huh?
I couldn't find a kicker, okay, so we're doing this. I'll be honest with you. Ford Motor Company institutes the first moving assembly line.
Really?
For the Model T.
Okay.
We also had the famous Rosa Parks in 1955 was arrested for refusing to move to the back of the bus.
Montgomery.
We also have in 1953, Hugh Hefner publishes his first edition of Playboy magazine featuring Marilyn Monroe, front and center.
It's a key date in the history of pornography.
Very, very important. Okay. Return of the King, the third movie of the Lord of the Rings in 2003 came out. And finally,
I think like these are getting progressively less impactful as you go along here.
The number one, since we are a sports radio station, 1973, Jack Nicklaus finishes at 13 under par for 275 to win the Walt Disney World Open by one stroke from Mason Rudolph, becoming the first player to reach 2 million in the PGA Tour career earnings.
Mason Rudolph.
That's what it says.
Hell's Mason Rudolph.
You guys know more about golf than I do. I'm just reading the fact of today.
All right.
Anything about 1973 golf?
Thank you, Marcus.
You're welcome.
Hey, Russ. One thing I wanted to circle back, do your thing, Russ. I want to circle back to something Jesse Smithy said.
All right. Top five at five is brought to you by Malone and Costa Dentistry at Knoxville Smiles. If it has been a while since you have been to the dentist, make this a New Year's resolution, ladies and gentlemen, as we look ahead towards 2023. Call Malone and Costa Dentistry at Knoxville Smiles. It's where I go for my dental work. Whether you need a routine dental cleaning or you've got an issue that's bothering you, you need a tooth removed, you need the Invisalign procedure, you don't know what that is, check out KnoxvilleSmiles.com. They'll fill you in. Fillings, crowns, bridges, veneers, they do it all, even dental implants. Michael Costa does a great job with those right there at Knoxville Smiles in their state-of-the-art West Knoxville facility on South Peters Road. Find out more, again, online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com or just call 865-539-1776. Yes, Bear.
He was one of the things that I found interesting was the kid from Pearl Cone, the 6'4", 350-pound kid that I just thought it was amusing that he said loves to be disruptive. I mean, is that just on the football field or is he like disruptive and, you know, off the field? It just struck me as funny.
No, I think he's talking about on the field.
Yeah.
If I were 6'4", 350 pounds, I'm almost 6'4", not quite 350. I would be disruptive as well on the football field.
Where you go now, about a buck 50, buck 60?
No. Well, you think I'm a beanpole over here? I'm
rather slender.
I've kind of like I hover between 180, 185, a little closer to 185 now that as we sit here today after the Thanksgiving holidays. We still got some Halloween candy too at Stately Smith Manor. It's
anything good?
Some Skittles and Laffy Taffy. And, yeah. Need to get rid of it. Rusty is up next. We're going to the phones here. We're going heavy on the phone calls the rest of the way. What's up, Rusty?
Oh, not much, guys. Want to talk about the poll that you guys put out. Like it. I like that you guys are bringing that up. But first, I wanted to just say what I think would have been the perfect media response to somebody in the room when LeBron said that would have been, well, LeBron, is that your way of defending Kyrie's anti-Semitism?
Oh, man. Or, yeah, I mean, like, he... We're still waiting on his comments on the China situation. I remember when he waded into that fiasco a year or two ago, and people pointed the finger of hypocrisy upon him and wagged it meanfully towards him, and he backed down pretty quick, as I recall.
Yeah. How about the West Germans going home before knockout?
I don't think they're divided by West and East anymore, are they?
No, they're not.
Not for about 30-something
years. It was a little bit of sarcasm.
The wall came down, Mr. Gorbachev.
Tear down those walls.
Tear down this wall. You weren't even alive, were you, Marcus?
What year was that?
87.
Yeah, no, I wasn't born.
The Germans were 11 in the world, and Belgium was 2 in the world, and they're both not making knockout. I like it.
It's the World Cup, man. Yeah, those were talented teams. They probably should be advancing. I don't trust those FIFA rankings at all. I think that's kind of a crock. But I do think it's interesting. Japan has had a great showing, man. I think that they will
win in that group. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they've obviously done something. And you're seeing some of these countries have like a really – typically in international soccer, you don't see a lot of, strategery going on there. It's more simple because they don't have as much time to practice. But, yeah, I mean, like, look at us. Look at the United States, like how much more well-organized and everything we are. Japan-Croatia is a very intriguing game coming up this weekend.
One. Spain-Morocco is going to be fun, too.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll get off soccer. I know I'm probably killing some of your people that like to listen. They're probably not too interested in our thoughts on the World Cup. Love the poll. Back in the day when there was the BCS poll, which is what you guys were kind of talking about, they took the AP, the coaches, a bunch of computer rankings, and they had a BCS committee that gave their poll, and all those, factored in together. So they could keep the committee to make their poll and then still just kind of formulate it the same way they used to, with adding all the computer rankings and then averaging all together and coming up with a situation. Your five big conference winners get in automatically no matter what. And the rest of it's decided by the way the computer rankings play out mixed in with the human elements poll, but that way it keeps it from being corrupt as all heck like it currently is, because we know that when you put humans in a room, there's agendas, and if they have final say, there's agendas.
Yeah, I mean, I lean, like I said earlier, more toward, and if you're just joining us, we put the poll in the field. If you're ranking college football teams for a college football playoff, do you prefer the old school BCS computer models or the new school human selection committee? I'm on the computer side of it, but I do 100%. Remember, I mean, there, would you not agree with this statement, Rusty, that there was a lot more complaining about the computers back in the day than there has been the past couple of years about the committee?
Yeah.
People hated those
computers.
The bigger
problem was when you're dividing up team 2 versus team 3, whatever system you're going to get, there's going to be more controversy. So if you were using humans, and we were splitting hairs between the number 2 team and the number 3 team of who goes to play in the BCS National Championship game, there's going to be more controversy with that than there is going to be with 4 teams. And 4 teams, there's going to be more controversy than if there is 12. Because 13 is going to have a whole lot of problem arguing either way we go in the future.
Sure.
But I still say computers are better, because it takes anybody's ability to manipulate a room, like, so-and-so's AD's in that room, and he's like, we're in, and Danny White's not there to represent, or Dan Radakovich is there to represent.
Yeah, well, Barnhart's been in there, right? And who,
right,
and
right.
who knows what he said? Like, you would like to think that he's advocating for his league, but we're also a rival. He used to work here. Are there hurt feelings between the, like, who knows what he's right, been saying?
Humans are uncontrollably biased.
Sure.
There's nothing we can do about it. I couldn't be in that room and be unbiased, and you couldn't either, and nope, and I don't expect anybody else to. So let them have their poll, but it's only a part of the equation that picks the actual averaged out poll between all the different factors.
Which is what the BCS was, basically, back
right,
in the day.
Right, and that eliminates somebody being able to manipulate too much.
So we got over 400 votes cast at @Russell_Smith. What do you trust more to decide who should be in the college football playoffs? 81.8% say computers. I'm a little bit surprised there. I thought more people would go with the people, but that anti-computer bias, I guess, has dwindled the past 10 years so.
Hey, let's keep it rolling and find a way to beat my second favorite team in the world on Saturday morning.
Are you a big Dutch sympathizer as well?
Well, my favorite player on earth, you know, it represents that country.
Oh, you're a Liverpool guy, yeah.
Yeah, big Verge, man. I mean, historically, I've loved them and their orange kits, et cetera, et cetera. And they're not one of the hero clubs of Europe, so it's easy to root against them when they're playing Germany or Spain or Italy or.
Yeah.
France or England.
Well, they have a proud, proud footballing tradition going way back, and I've got family.
Never won one. They have the most runners-up in World Cups, and to have not won one.
If it can't, I'm with you. If it can't be us, I'm pulling for them. I've got family on my wife's side from my wife's father's Dutch, of Dutch ancestry, so we follow them close as well.
And freaking Amsterdam's in there. I mean,
Amsterdam.
That's all they said.
Rotterdam, I mean, the Netherlands.
Is there anything better than Amsterdam?
I've heard it's good. I've never been.
You dig it the most.
Royale with cheese.
That's right, man. Y'all be cool.
Thank you, Rusty. Appreciate the phone call.
You know who we play if we win, right?
We will play the winner of Argentina and Australia.
Oh, yeah.
You'll go against Messi?
I'll take him on.
Let's
do
it.
No problem with that at all. Let's play Australia. Good day, mate.
Put another shrimp on the bobby. Ryan is next. Good afternoon, Ryan. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
How you fellas doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. I just got off, so I don't know if y'all went over this or not, but I know Antonio Brown, there's a warrant out for his work arrest, but I don't know if y'all seen the last about 10 minutes. He's actually at a standoff with the police in his home.
Yeah, we were – thank you for teasing the docket a little bit for us, Ryan. But,
sorry, man.
No, you're good. It seems like didn't this happen before? Hasn't he been in another standoff with the police, probably at the same place?
I don't recall him ever being in a standoff.
Am I making that up, Marcus? I feel like he was – or is that T.O.?
He was – no, he had his house surrounded at one point, but I don't know how much of a – quote-unquote standoff it was at that time. But yeah, I remember his house being surrounded at one point.
Well, I just hope it don't end up badly this time. Somebody needs to give him some serious help, because he's out there.
Yeah.
He has damn egg scrambled Bavontaze Perfect. He was never the same after that.
No. But on my way out, I'll ask a quick question. If Triple J can come back healthy, when he does come back, and with how good Adu has been doing the last couple of games, whose minutes do you think that Triple J gets? Euros or Mayshaks? I'll hang up and listen.
I mean, it'll be a combination of all that. I'd say Mayshak is probably going to lose out. I did not get to see the game last night. I had it on today while I was working, but honestly, I was not paying very close attention. It seemed like Urosh was out of there pretty quick last night. Like, I mean, they had Adu in there for him, 4 or 5 minutes in? Like, 2 minutes in. I think he came in at, like, the 18-and-a-half-minute mark to pull up the
– Yeah, Barnes played a lot more people last night than he has so far this year.
pull up the box scores. But a healthy Triple J is playing 30 minutes a night for us. Now, he's not healthy right now, so who knows when he gets, if he gets completely healthy. That will be just a little storyline that we're going to have to monitor for at least the foreseeable future. But I don't think all, you know, he can play any position. So I don't think all his minutes come at the expense of any one player. I think they come at the expense of a lot of players. Vescovi played 33 minutes last night. Phillips played 30. I mean, some of it's going to come from Phillips. Kamwa played 22. Tyreek Key, 27. Urosh, 13. That's probably about where he's going to be. Adu played 16. Jemai played 21. He's probably, I don't think Meshack's going to be playing 21 minutes tonight if Triple J's healthy. But the Meshack is maybe the story of the year so far.
Either him or Phillips, but Meshack to me is he's the X factor just because of how dominating he is defensively. We can just get any kind of consistent offensive output out of him. I never thought it was going to happen.
4 points, made a three last night. One of three from the field. Three rebounds in 21 minutes. Like I said, did not see enough of the game to pass any sort of judgment on him. But everything I've seen so far this year is so much more than I expected to see from him. 865-546-8200, your number. Yeah, the Antonio Brown situation is utterly bizarre, as you would expect. We'll update that for you when we continue on the docket, brought to you by Fox and Farmer. More of your phone calls on the way as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, here we go with the docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro attorneys. We are following the situation in Tampa where police have issued a warrant arrest for former NFL wide receiver Antonio Brown. The active warrant stems from a domestic battery incident involving a woman. On November 28th at approximately 1:30 p.m., Brown and the woman were involved in a verbal altercation at his home in South Tampa. The argument became physical, according to police. Brown threw a shoe at the victim. He also attempted to evict the woman from the home by locking her out. A judge the next day denied a petition for a temporary risk protection order to prevent him from possessing firearms or ammunition if he was considered a threat to himself or others. Yeah, that's a guy who needs to have guns. And this is not his first run-in with the law. Last month, he was ordered to pay $1.2 million to a Broward County moving truck driver after he was arrested for assaulting the driver, which he pled no contest to, received 2 years probation there. You remember that video of him like in wherever he was, some Middle Eastern country at a resort?
Yeah, it was Dubai.
Basically, like kind of sexual assault, kind of borderline behavior on some woman.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
Yeah, then there was that photo that came out of him in the pool. That was weird.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It was.
Oh, that. Yeah, where he was. Yeah, he was pleasuring himself. Okay.
But he also grabbed.
Ross, that was Dubai.
He also grabbed the woman, and yeah, this is a guy who's not well. I mean, we've known that for a while back since he's playing and. This ends poorly unless he gets mental help. So hopefully,
a lot of that going around right now.
Yeah, hopefully they're able to take him into custody without incident. Speaking of terrible situations, the Mickey Joseph fall from grace has been abrupt. This is the guy who was the interim coach at Nebraska this year for 9 games this season. Like, did a pretty good job in that role. To the point where they basically said, look, if the new coach, we're guaranteeing you a position. If the new coach doesn't want you, you're getting buyout money. And he has been arrested on suspicion of strangulation and third-degree domestic assault. Apparently this happened yesterday. officers dispatched to a residence on a domestic disturbance call after an investigation. Officers arrested the 54-year-old Joseph at a separate location and booked him into the Lancaster County Jail. He was placed on administrative leave by Nebraska AD Trev Alberts. That is a bad, and there's never good timing for that, but that's just very ironic because he was running that program basically for the past 2 or 3 months, and now I can't imagine that Matt Rhule, you're probably not going to want to keep him anyway. You want to bring in your own guys, but now it's going to be hard for him to get hired on somewhere else, I would imagine. It's going to be a hard one to explain.
Yeah. I agreed. It'd be really hard to explain.
Mickey Joseph on the docket, brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys. They're online at foxandfarmer.com. As always, you can call them and set up a free, no-obligation consultation. 865-531-9400 is their number. 531-9400 at Fox and Farmer. They don't get paid unless you get paid. So what do you got to lose? Give them a ring today, 531-9400, or just go online to foxandfarmer.com. Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys. Let's get back to the phones here. Brad in La Follette is next. Good afternoon, Brad.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well, thanks.
It's good to hear Bear on here. Even though he's under the weather, he still comes in and shows up to work, unlike the morning show. I like it.
Oh! Shots fired.
What Konza used to call it, Russell?
Tougher breed.
That's the drive.
I just picture Bear doing this show shirtless with a big chain around his neck holding a sledgehammer.
No, I'm sitting in my recliner with a hoodie on with the hood up. I'm freezing right
now.
Don't
ruin it for me. Just let me have my my image.
All right.
The funniest damn thing was when Bear fell asleep in his recliner during the live radio show.
Which time?
That was the best. That was great.
Which one?
The one where you were snoring.
You try staying awake when you've got Smith and Wallace, you know, droning on in your ear like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Hey, I should be given a damn medal for staying awake as long as I did.
Hey, guys, I had a thought, and I wanted to run it by you guys because I haven't heard anyone bring this up. Do you think it would have been in Tennessee's best interest, or it would have made any difference if they would have withheld information about Hendon Hooker's injury or the extent of his injury until at least the polls came out after the Vanderbilt game?
I don't think so, because I think everybody, anybody with a clue saw it when it happened.
I don't know, man. I figured it
looked pretty bad.
And
I mean, you could have just said it was a pull, you know, a strain, something minor. We're rehabbing.
It's got a lower extremity issue. I mean,
it's a lower extremity. That's all you have to disclose. I mean, this isn't the NFL.
They did that with every other injury all year long. It's like Coach Cedric Tillman he had the surgery, or so they wouldn't admit it. No, yeah, we're gonna see how he is at the end of the week, and like
that's how the NHL does it. They just say upper body, lower body. Like they go into no detail.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that at all, Brad. But I don't know.
If you ask any of the talking heads on ESPN, that was their go-to. Hendon Hooker's out. It's a different team with Milton. You would have eliminated that. Or not eliminate it, but have put at least a question mark out there that, hey, there's a possibility that he's rehabbing and Hendon Hooker could be, you know, ready for the playoffs.
I don't know if they would have thought about that at all. You would think in this crazy college football environment, they would think about everything, every possible environment, but I think they just love and respect that dude so much that, you know, they probably asked him if he wanted it out there, and I don't know. We're all speculating here, but that is interesting. I'd not thought about it from that angle. I wonder if there's any part of Heupel and the staff over there that wishes they had played that differently.
I mean, because he's not even had surgery yet. I don't know. I mean,
well, that's not out of the ordinary, though, Brad. I mean, a lot of times you'll have to wait until all the swelling goes down.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and you could still say we're evaluating. He's, you know, he's day to day.
Aren't we all?
The whole company line. It's an
interesting thing to think about, for sure.
Well, you think about a lot of things when you got an hour hour drive home, and just want to know if you guys ever thought about that.
I have now. I don't have a strong answer one way or the other. Here's the thing, man, is you would have for in order for it to have an impact, you'd have to be disingenuous, right? You'd have to lead people on. You'd have to be putting it out there that, oh, you know, we're still in the wait and see process. He's got a lower extremity injury and we're hoping to know a little bit more. You'd have to keep it all quiet and everything with the goal of, you know, waiting essentially 3 weeks for that last poll to come out. And basically be putting off the vibe and the message to the committee that he's going to be back. And I don't, you know, I know it's college football and it's sleazy business and all that, but that would be, I can't think of a comparable situation where an athlete or a team played the public in their sport like that in order to gain some sort of competitive or monetary advantage.
The way
I mean, Michigan didn't really come out and say much about Blake Corum, although he did try and play against Ohio State.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, he tried to play.
Yeah, Michigan's running back. He's having season-ending surgery right now. I wonder if they're going to drop them in the polls.
Nah, Russ had a good point on that.
I mean, what I'm saying is, as dirty as college sports is, I mean, I know it does seem kind of – I mean, you're just not – you're just not giving information. I don't even know if you can say it's lying. You're just not giving any information on an injury like that. And I think it would have made a difference. I mean, they would have had to have came back with some other kind of argument to justify putting Tennessee behind Alabama is all I'm trying to say.
They would have gone to the South Carolina lot. Better losses, that whole thing. They're going to do what they're going to do, man. And the bottom line is, for Tennessee, we should have beaten South Carolina. Hooker, God love him, didn't play his best game in that game, and our defense was atrocious. And yeah, we only have ourselves to blame for that. So now the question becomes, if you had won that game and Hooker had gotten hurt, if our defense had showed up and we had won that game 38-34 or whatever, then – where would we be? What conversation would we be having? Because I could definitely see.
I still think we'd be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like I kind of get it, man. We're not the same team without him. Are we better than TCU and USC with Joe Milton at quarterback? I'm not so sure that we are.
Russ, is Ohio State going to push us out of the Orange Bowl and we're going to go to the Cotton Bowl?
Remains to be seen. I mean, it sounds like if they don't get in the playoff, yes, it sounds like that's what's going to happen.
Here's my question about that. So a part of the language we talked about is that the Rose Bowl can take whoever they want, right? Is that a part of the language of it? Or is it
– I mean, they can take Penn State.
So because if more or less, if they take the Orange Bowl, hey, I'll take the Rose Bowl. Tennessee will travel to L.A. You kidding me?
No, they aren't doing that. They're taking a Big Ten team. They don't want Tennessee.
I mean, there has to be a pecking order. Who has the first pick? Does the Rose Bowl have a first pick over the Orange Bowl or what?
Apparently they've got wording in there that nobody ever seemed to notice until 3 days ago. I thought that, Russell, that you and CG were euphemistically saying cluster instead of cluster F and didn't realize, no, that's what it says in the contract. It's a cluster situation where they've got another Big Ten team there close by that they could snag, because Ohio State's been out there 3 of the last 5, and they were out there last year, and yada, yada. But, I mean, it's bogus.
What would stop the Orange Bowl from tonight saying, okay, we're making our selection, we're taking Tennessee and Clemson? Who could stop that? Neither team's playing for a championship. They go ahead and fill their bowl.
Would the Orange Bowl rather have Ohio State than Tennessee? I don't know. I think that the way it works is they all have an agreement. I'm not sure if it's a gentleman's agreement or it's chiseled in stone somewhere, but they don't do any of that stuff until Sunday.
don't know. I mean, I just don't like the – I understand where people are coming from. Yeah, where we're talking about fighting over or arguing whether we want to go to the Orange Bowl or the Sugar or Cotton Bowl, or nobody ever thought we would be this way. But the fact of the matter is we are here. And I don't like seeing my team get crapped on. I remember Philip Fulmer said one time, University of Tennessee takes a backseat to nobody. And I hope they still feel that way over there. And I hope Danny White is doing all he can do to, you know, put us in the best situation. But that's all I got, guys. Y'all be cool.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Yes, Marcus.
Russ, I know you don't care about it.
So but maybe you're going to bring it up anyway?
I'm going to bring it up anyway. This is what I do. If the conversation is being had that without Hinton and Hooker, that's why we didn't move up to six, things like that, does that mean that he is very important to this team, almost as important as the most important player who wins the Heisman? If you're saying that our ranking is determined based on an injury to the best player in your team.
But they're not saying that. They're not really saying anything. They're being super vague about it.
If they're being vague about it, if they're being a little bit coy about it, Russ.
I see what you're saying, but that's my problem with all this stuff is, like, we don't know what they're thinking. We don't know what their reasoning is. We don't know if it's just the Hooker injury or if it's the fact that we got beat by South Carolina and they're comparing that to Alabama's losses and all this stuff. We don't know. I think that is the main source of frustration. If you're going to screw me, just screw me. Like, don't stab me in the back. Stab me in the chest. I want to know. I can live with that. Unless I bleed out or die. But I just tell me. If I know what the rules are going in and I get screwed, well, at least I could have seen it coming. We didn't know what the cluster situation was until Monday night. And people start talking about it. They're like, what in the world are these guys talking about? And then, sure enough, it's in there. It's like, well, why didn't we know about that? Here we are all week long. We're talking about going to play Clemson in the Orange Bowl.
Nobody knew it was in there.
Nobody knew. Nobody knows. The Rose Bowl contract. Nobody knows but Sankey. Quick timeout. The drive continues. The shocking conclusion coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
So you're watching the game. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Wrapping up Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Overtime Boys headed your way next from 6 until 8, right here on many of these fine Fan Run affiliates. Did not even mention this today, Bear, but Miles Campbell has entered the transfer portal.
Miles Campbell?
Yes.
I don't recall him. He's tight end, Tennessee.
You obviously recall him.
Correct?
Yes.
Yeah, vaguely. The coldest, that the coldest kid from Nebraska hit the portal as
well. The coldest Crawford?
Yeah.
Is he good?
I don't know. He's got a cool name.
He does. He had a NIL deal with a air conditioning company. Blue Water Climate Control.
We'll hook him up with BWCC.
There you go. Yeah, Miles Campbell, it's disappointing, man. But it's a reminder. We say it every year in recruiting. We are excited about every single recruit on Tennessee's commitment list. We have talked ourselves into all of these guys can play, and it never works out that way. No, Miles Campbell was a guy that thought, like, this is a good athlete, man. He's going to be a good tight end. Yeah, he needs some season and everything, but he's going to play. And he never gets on the field. And that's just – you got to keep that in mind. Some of these guys that we're going to talk about are like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be a player for us. No, he's not going to be a player for you. But you don't know until you get him in here and see. So we'll see how it goes.
That you do not.
No. Let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Lorenzo is next. What's up, Lorenzo?
Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Good, good. I miss those good old Nashville days playing with the Titans. I just – listened to the show a little bit. I said I'd call in, and I know you guys talked a little about Niners. If you covered the Niners out here, and you know you guys are talking about the Niners and the Dolphins. But my biggest thing is to talk about Jerry Jones. When I was, it's earlier, I've just been hearing a lot about, you know, Jerry, and it's just interesting to me when you guys hear about, you know, what, you know, Jerry Jones, what he did at 14 years old. I think that all of us can say that we've all done crazy things at 12, 13, 14 years old. And it's interesting just how the hypocrisy of so many people come out and say, oh, my God, this guy is a racist or this, that, and the other. Now, was it wrong? Of course. But at sometimes when you're young, you're going with the crowd. You look in when the 60s and 50s and when this picture was taken. Let's be real. I mean, people, you know, it's interesting because people just hide behind the truth. And, oh, my God, he's a horrible person. And they just want to, you know, crucify an individual. And it's like, well, time changes. You have to realize black men, people of color, was said didn't even have a soul, was one-third of a man, and all the different things that were going on in the 60s and the 50s. And so when we look at these issues, like, people got to look at it differently, though, just in my perspective.
The thing that intrigued me about that whole deal more than anything was that, I mean, you're talking about, that's an incredibly famous picture about, you know, an incredibly turbulent time in this nation's history.
Sure.
And it was just sitting out there for years and years and years. And, I mean, he's been in the public spotlight since, you know, really, I guess, since he bought the Cowboys was when he really elevated himself in a,
how do you think,
you know, American life.
Who unearthed it? Who was like, this is Jerry Jones, and we need to talk about this?
Right.
Probably somebody he pissed off in Arkansas. But, I mean, it's a Little Rock Nine, dude. Yeah, I mean, people are going to have a problem with – I mean, that was and I'm not saying either way. I can just see
all sides of it, but to me,
the most fascinating part of it, Lorenzo, is that it was just sitting out there, clear as a bell.
Right.
So –
no, you guys are absolutely right, and that's the thing about it. It's like no one's sitting here trying to justify or saying, oh, hey, I just think that we all, when you go about all these years and it finally comes up and all of a sudden you hear guys like, you know, LeBron and, oh, LeBron James will address this. And here's the deal. It's great that LeBron speaks, but I don't think he speaks for everyone. I think that, you know, everyone says, hey, is LeBron James speaks for the whole black community? No, because when you think about the hypocrisy, look at what happened when LeBron spoke out about China. Now none of them talk about it. But you look at just everything that goes on in this world, it's so crazy how quick people want to cancel and the cancel culture instead of having a conversation and talk about times and what it was. So that, for me, it's just what happened to dialogue? We live in a world now, guys, you can't have a dialogue. You can't disagree. It's either you don't got to be red or blue to do what's right. And it's just the hypocrisy of everything. And I just think that we as people have to stand up and start saying, hey, look, what's wrong? Call wrong, right or right. And it's not about blue or red. It's about doing what's right.
Hey, Lorenzo, I agree with everything you're saying, buddy. We need more grace and forgiveness in this world, less judgment. Now, you told our call screener you're Lorenzo Neal, the former Titan. Is this Lorenzo Neal?
Absolutely. What's up, my guys? What's happening?
Are you pulling our leg right now?
Never, baby. The Music City Miracle, baby.
How did you,
in your program, number one in your heart.
How did you find us?
You know what? I'm listening. Believe it or not, I was listening to 1340, and I'm actually in California, and I don't know if it's just, I don't know if you guys were on that particular station, and I was just going, oh, I heard this mention in it, so I was like, oh, let me just call in. So I just actually looked at the call number and called in, and I don't know if it's the right one, so I was just like, hey, let me call and listen to these guys and just listen to what you guys are saying, and I just wanted to weigh in on those particular things. That was it.
Wait, Mr. Lorenzo Neal?
I didn't know we had Bears catching up here. I didn't know that we had an affiliate in California, but that's cool, man. You were one of the head cracking Titans back in the day, man. A fullback. We don't have any fullbacks anymore. What happened?
Absolutely, the game. Right, the game is done, but we still got Cal Hushchek out here in San Francisco. You know, I do work for 95.7 The Game. I do some TV and radio here in the Bay. And watching the Niners, the way that they go out and run the ball, physical, they're still one of the teams that get physical and they go two backs. And it is. It's a dying breed. It's a lost art. Football is changing. But I'm just glad that the Niners and certain teams still use a fullback a little bit. But, yeah, definitely changing.
Hey, man, well, I don't know how you found us. I'm glad you did, man. Thanks for calling in.
No worries, guys. Cheers.
Two.
Wow.
How would he have listened to us on 1340?
He mentioned 1340 when he called in too. And I was like, because he was asking you know, did you guys talk about Indiana Jones and Jerry Jones?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, yeah, we did. And when he mentioned, I was like, yeah, this is, you know, the drive with Fan Run Radio.
Could it be related to Christopher Gabriel somehow?
That's what I was,
yeah,
what I was just sitting here thinking, because he's out in Fresno and he went to Fresno State.
Are we going to have to talk to CG, see what he's been doing out there to get us out there? That's crazy. I'll be honest with you.
He's a bad man.
He said, you know, this Lorenzo, and was asking all that, and he said, you know, I'm Lorenzo Neal, you know, former Titan. And I'm like, I'll be honest with you. For the moment, I was like, is this?
Yeah, because people call in and play, like, hey, this is so-and-so, and
sure,
play games or whatever. But that would be, like, a kind of obscure former athlete to – to go by, but oh, I remember him well as a Titan.
Oh yeah, I mean he was huge with that offense.
Well, I just remember it. He was Eddie George's fullback, and I remember like they made such a big deal of it when Jeff Fisher. I can't remember if we traded Lorenzo or cut him, but like Eddie George's production dipped, and he was always talking about, I need my fullback. I need my fullback. I'm not the same runner without a fullback. And Jeff Fisher just wouldn't have it. He's like, well, I can show you that it doesn't matter. And Eddie George just insisted that it did.
Well, Jeff Fisher's an idiot, and Eddie was right.
Idiot. I mean, he's a...
50-50?
Well, it had... look at the game now. You don't see many fullbacks anymore.
You know what you also don't see? Jeff Fisher on a sideline.
Quick note as we're going off, football scoop, John Bryce and company reporting that Liberty is zeroing in on a replacement for Hugh Freeze.
Don't say it.
Art Briles?
Nope.
Don't say Golish.
Nope. He does have East Tennessee ties though.
George Quarles.
Nope.
I've got
put
no clue, man.
Three and out is going to be very exciting.
Oh!
Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina has been identified as Liberty's next guy.
About
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate you guys. Bear, hope you're feeling better soon.
Yep.
Excellent work by you, Marcus. Jake and the boys coming up next. It's overtime right here on Fan Run Radio. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6 here on The Drive.
The Drive. Linderman Sports Medicine, the volunteer state's